So Luke chapter 8 and from verse 26. Jesus and the disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
Today I'd like to focus on two stark contrasts which this passage highlights. I've set these out on your handout, which is on the opposite page from the passage there. Firstly, there is the contrast between the condition of the demon-possessed man before Jesus cast his demons out and his condition after Jesus cast them out. I'd like to take a careful look at what Luke tells us about both this man's physical and spiritual condition. Secondly, there's the contrast between the response to Jesus by all of the Gerasenes and the response to Jesus by the man who'd been delivered from demon possession. But before we dive into the passage, let's take a brief look at the context. Luke's gospel account was written to Theophilus, most likely a Gentile Christian who was reasonably new to the faith. The gospel includes a number of incidents which reveal Jesus' identity, such as last week's passage in which Jesus calmed the storm, which demonstrates his authority over nature, this passage in which Jesus demonstrates his authority over demons, and later passages in which Jesus shows his authority over both disease and death. Also woven into this material are things that serve to train Jesus' disciples, such as the parable of the sower, in which Jesus teaches his disciples that they are to expect that many will reject the word of God, with only a few being very fruitful. Also the lamp on the stand, which confirms to the disciples that everything which is hidden will be brought out into the light. And also the account of Jesus' mother and brothers coming to see him, and Jesus uses that incident to emphasize the importance of hearing God's word and putting it into practice. Okay, that's the context. Let's take a look at this passage. Note the geography. Jesus has just set sail with his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He's left the Jewish side and gone over to Gentile territory, the region of the Gerasenes, probably close to Gadara, on the southeast side of the lake. This was part of Decapolis, so-called because it contained 10 major towns. The impact of this is that the action takes place between Jesus and Gentiles. This is not Jews, this is Gentiles. So this is a field trip, with Jesus taking his disciples away, literally overseas, to a foreign country for a practical session to see the truth of the parable of the sower. You'll remember from David Hamilton's talk a few weeks ago that Jesus used this parable to teach his disciples that there will be sharply contrasting responses to Jesus' word. So Jesus is not just chalk and talk in his teaching. Here we have a real life example of what he means by these contrasting responses. It's also worth noting that in the scriptures, the seas are seen as places of chaos and disorder, which is borne out by last week's passage where the disciples were convinced there was about to be loss of their lives because of the raging storm. Jesus is using this field trip to reveal not just his authority over chaos in nature, but over all peoples, even those outside of Israel. In case the disciples are under any illusions that Jesus' word was only effective in, or even indeed applicable to Israel and the historic people of God, Jesus uses this visit to the region of the Gerasenes to make it clear that his word is relevant to everybody. Let's take a look at the first of the two big contrasts I'd like to mention in this passage, the condition before and after of the demon-possessed man. That's the first point on your handouts. The description of the man that Jesus meets immediately he steps ashore gives a very clear picture of the alarming state of physical and spiritual decay which he lived in. From verse 27 on the passage there, we learn that the man had not worn clothes for a long time or lived in a dwelling, that he lived in the tombs which are unclean and where no one with alternatives would choose to live. In verse 28, we see that the demons control the man's speech as they use him to talk to Jesus. And in verse 29, we learn that the demons which possessed the man had caused him to break through chains. How he did this isn't mentioned precisely, but we can imagine the damage that he did to himself as he tore at those chains with his fingers, his hands, his bones. We also learn that the demons frequently seized the man, taking possession of his body to cause disruption, perhaps like the shouted cry to Jesus at the top of his voice as soon as he lands on shore. And finally, we learn that the demons drove him out into solitary places. Even more about the man's problem, in verse 30, we learn that he's possessed not just by one demon, but by many. The word legion suggests a very serious number. Legion is typically made up of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So we're not just talking about a handful here. Very serious numbers of demons are at work. So not only is this man physically degraded, with no clothes, potentially covered in wounds from breaking chains, but he's also spiritually degraded. He's been driven out to solitary places. He's been forced to live in places which are unclean. And the fact that pigs in large numbers are being kept nearby underlines the spiritual degradation of the man, because pigs are considered unclean by Jews, and living near them would have to be absolute anathema to them. So this is no ordinary down and out, no ordinary psychiatric patient with mental disturbance or imbalance. This individual is in a much more serious condition. So serious indeed that he'd become a public danger, and the authorities had attempted to take action. Notice in verse 29, the man had been kept under guard, and yet somehow he'd been able to break out of captivity, escape his guards, as well as break loose from his chains. Okay, that's before. Let's take a look at after, the man's condition after Jesus has expelled the demons. Well, the contrast could hardly be more stark. Verse 35, we read, the man was sitting at Jesus' feet quietly. We read that he was dressed, and we read that he was in his right mind. The frightening individual, out of control, uncontrollable, loud, unclean, untamable, was just sitting meekly at Jesus' feet in some borrowed clothes. The impact of Jesus on this man was radical. He went from being a public threat, disruptive and frightening to all who would meet him, to being quiet, submissive disciple of Jesus, sitting at his feet and listening to his words. So two things to learn from this episode. Jesus has authority over demons. And secondly, meeting Jesus can result in a huge transformation, whatever your spiritual or physical state. So in this example, the demon-possessed man was transformed from being in opposition to God and a threat to other people, an antisocial threat, into someone who could serve God's purposes and be useful. So that's the first contrast. Let me take a look at the second major point on our sheet there. which is the responses, are the responses to Jesus. The Gerasene herdmen clearly think that what's happened is newsworthy, and so they go and make widespread and immediate reports, both to those in the nearby town as well as to the entire countryside of Ann. Once the word is out, the hearers are clearly persuaded. It's not just another piece of rumor or some gossip. It's genuinely something worth stopping work for and going to check out. The impression given by the use of the phrase, "the people went out to see what happened," is that a sizable proportion of the hearers went out to find out about this event. Perhaps first the loss adjusters, seeking to estimate the scale of the losses and whether there'd been any policies to claim against, and maybe hotfoot the DEFRA officials of the day as they determine whether there's any need to contain infection or any health risk arising from this incident. They all reach the scene of this incident, and the first thing they see is the formerly demon-possessed man sitting at Jesus' feet. Not only that, but he's dressed, perhaps had time for a quick wash before putting on those borrowed clothes. He's obviously in his right mind. And gone is that disturbing appearance, the wild, antisocial behavior, and instead, he's behaving in a normal way. Instead of permanent exclusion, self-harm, and uncleanness, he's potentially going to be able to return to a normal lifestyle, maybe get some work, feed himself, and instead of being hated and feared by those around him, a danger to those he encounters, he's going to be able to enter into normal relationships with fellow human beings, and perhaps enjoy some society. But here comes a surprise. Instead of being glad about the healing and grateful to Jesus about it, these people, the Gerasenes, react in fear. Rather than welcoming the newly healed person, asking Jesus how was he able to heal him and about his authority over demons, they recoil in fear. It's not immediately obvious why the Gerasenes might have been afraid of Jesus, and we're not given specific reasons. Perhaps demon possession was a fact of life and very common in that region. It's possible that they were so used to living under the shadow of these demons that they were concerned about what the future might hold. And perhaps the loss of the pigs was a major concern for them. We don't know precisely why they were afraid, but it's abundantly clear from verses 35 and 37 that fear was the reason they asked Jesus to leave. They were afraid. So contrast that reaction to Jesus to the reaction of the man who was free from demon possession. In verse 37 and following, we read that at the request of the Gerasenes, Jesus is climbing back in the boat to leave. But the man who was free from demon possession begs to come with him. Far from being afraid of Jesus, he was attracted to him, given the compassion which he'd shown him and the demonstration of power that Jesus had given. Jesus then denies his request to accompany him and sends him out to his fellow countrymen to tell them what God has done for him. Notice that Jesus is claiming that the actions he's taken are the actions of God. The man takes this instruction seriously and spreads the word about Jesus all around the town. So the contrast there between the fear of his countrymen and the willingness of the man who was healed could not be starker. The countrymen have the opportunity to ask Jesus to stay and explain, but they're in fear and they will have none of it. The healed man earnestly seeks to stay with Jesus, and when he's sent away, he diligently follows the Lord's instruction to spread the word of God to his countrymen, despite their previous rejection. Notice here that Jesus' kindness to the Gerasenes, while he understands they're afraid of him, and he respects their request for him to leave, he leaves behind an ambassador and a mouthpiece, very intentionally. Perhaps with the passage of time, some may get over their fear and wonder about this person who had authority over the many demons which caused so much destruction to that herd of swine. As the man retells the incident and recounts how much Jesus has done for him, might he be able to convince some others to join him in following and worshipping the Lord Jesus? Okay, so what can we learn from these events? at one level, the field trip doesn't appear to have been a particularly great success, unfortunately. After all, with just one exception, everyone who witnessed these events or heard about them asked Jesus to leave immediately. And Jesus didn't accept the request of the healed man to follow him, but sent him away. So much for a field trip. But I think it's worth noting the following points. This field trip has clearly showed Jesus' authority over both nature and demons. The disciples were there, and they all saw and heard this interaction with the demon-possessed man. Later, they themselves are going to be sent out to deal with demons. While they have a bit more to learn, and there's a failed attempt to drive out a demon in Luke chapter 9, verse 40, eventually Jesus' training comes good, and the 72 disciples that Jesus sent out return with joy, noting that even the demons submit to them in Jesus' name. That's in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Also worth noting is that as Jesus has exercised his authority, his disciples have witnessed the scale of transformation which Jesus has come to bring to people. The sheer extent of the change which affected the man who was demon-possessed stresses this, the contrast before and after. Also, the disciples witnessed the reaction of unmitigated fear which the Gerasenes showed to his power. And it's made it clear to them that some who see Jesus' power will be moved to fear and reject him. And also worth noting is that the incident in a foreign country with a foreigner helps the disciples to understand that Jesus came for all mankind, not just the Jews. Of course, as we hear and more get here of this encounter, we too can understand the same points and apply them to our own situations. So just let me take some time to do that. Could something like this kind of rejection of Jesus and his response to Jesus, happen today? Is it possible that someone might hear or encounter Jesus and be totally transformed? Could someone hear or encounter Jesus and be gripped by fear? There are still many people who have little or no idea about the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ here in England today. While many will pay lip service to knowing about Jesus, few will have been struck by his sheer power and his authority. Some may have heard about his death and resurrection, but would just try and explain it away. Some will reject Jesus, maybe out of fear of the impact which he'll have on their lives or lifestyle, or maybe out of fear that he might change his mind and judge them, rather than offer them the free gift of his life laid down to bring them reconciliation with God and healing. In each case, these kinds of reactions betray either a lack of openness to consider the truth and respond to it appropriately, or potentially an unwillingness to consider the way that they've been going is wrong and that they need to turn around and go the other way, which is what Christians call repent, literally turn around and go back the other way. And for some, the thought that the way they're currently thinking and living might be morally wrong and offensive to God, who created all things, is too frightening to contemplate. Rather than facing up to this and dealing with the consequences, some may choose to just ignore the issue. Others will choose to deny out of fear. Jesus came to deal with this matter head on. Luke's gospel is clear and gives us certainty on this point. The fact is that all of us fall short of God's perfect standards, and it is right to be afraid of the consequences of this. The good news is that there is a way forward for all of us. Jesus came not just to point out our shortcomings, our sin, but also to deal with the consequences. He followed God's perfect plan by offering himself to take the punishment and judgment which we deserve, and so making it possible for us to have life in all its fullness now and eternal life in the age to come. On the other hand, thinking about the transformation which Jesus can bring, it is the case that the good news about Jesus is spreading to more and more people every day. This is very much what we're about here at the Moorgate Talks. One by one, we're seeing people responding to this good news, encountering Jesus for themselves, and making a decision to follow him, which results in transformed lives. while the transformation is not often as stark as the transformation we've seen in this passage, the change is notable, particularly as people's minds and hearts are changed. So let me ask you, where do you stand? Have you taken the time and trouble to think through who Jesus is and what impact this has on your life? Have you considered the eyewitness accounts so you can make an informed and considered judgment? An excellent way of doing this is through participating in the Christianity Explored course. Alternatively, maybe you're being petrified by that same fear which struck the Gerasenes. Or are you willing, maybe, to look into who Jesus is for yourself? And for those of us who are already Christians, my prayer is that we will be struck once again by the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus. When we speak to others about him, let's not be too surprised at their various adverse reactions. Sometimes we'll meet apathy, scorn, or rejection. And these things may be concealing fear as people turn away from the living God to suit their own desires. They may cut you off, but do persevere and keep praying. Who knows? Maybe their fear will subside and the truth might break through. Okay, time for you to be doing some thinking and discussing around your tables. I've put some questions to think about on the back of the handout, and do please poll your neighbours for their opinions. But before we turn to discussions, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that while we were still sinners, you sent Jesus to die for us. Thank you that Jesus has the authority to deal with the problem of our sin, and that he's calling each one of us into a relationship with him. For those of us here who do not yet know Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do his work of convincing and convicting. I pray that through your word, each one may get to know the Lord Jesus and his power and authority. I pray also that you will bring about that miraculous change in each one's life, which only you can make possible through that life which Jesus offers. For those of us here who know and love you, I pray that we may be constantly conscious of the fullness of life which Jesus has given us, and that we may rejoice in that. I ask that you give us loving perseverance in holding out the good news of Jesus to all around us, so that we may always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us, regardless of the reactions and the fear which we encounter. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.